Hi. No, I'm not in jail. Couldn't find a place to be in jail. This is Steve Walters here at Christ Community with Video Accelerator for December 13th. Only a few more days until Christmas shopping is over with. I love the Book of Acts. It is just one of my favorite books. I had a privilege of teaching it in a Russian Bible college a number of years ago, spent a lot of time in it, and it is just full of God's working, the gospel being proclaimed, and it's a historical account of the first 30 years of the New Testament church. It's a great, exciting period of time. The question that I have for you is what comes to mind when you read the Book of Acts? You just finished the Book of Acts, so what words came to your mind? I thought of power, I thought of grace, salvation, I thought of boldness, the Holy Spirit, to name a few interesting words for me. But one thing I found out, that the word love is not used in the Book of Acts. Who knew? So I didn't believe it. So I got my concordance out and looked in the website, Bible Gateway, and sure enough, it's not in there. The word love is not in there. But this is a book of application and of action. Acts is a continuation of the work of Christ, the work that Christ began. And for us, it means that we too are to continue in what Christ began in our own lives. Acts is about the expansion of Christianity and the mighty acts of God. Chapters 27 and 28 are the real life experiences and examples of living out Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We would all agree in reading this chapter, that one shipwreck in a lifetime would be enough for most people. But in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says that he was shipwrecked three times, but now it's four because he wrote 2 Corinthians before he was shipwrecked on his way to Rome. So I have a few observations for you from this accelerator. Today we read that Aristarchus and Luke, perhaps, in all probability, gave up their freedom for the privilege of serving the Apostle Paul. So a question I have for you is, what would you give up for the privilege of serving others? Secondly, I just don't want you to lose sight of the significance that Paul was allowed to go on shore to visit a friend while there as a prisoner while he was on his way to Rome. Obviously, he had impacted Julius in many ways. And you know, and I know, many people of influence and authority over us who we can interact with and impact. And Paul did that with Julius. And the question I have for you is, who has God put in your life that you can impact, that you can influence, and you can speak into, even those that are in authority over you? Now, this time of the year, when they were deciding if they should travel, was a pretty precarious time anyways. Common wisdom held that you just don't travel after September and for sure by November. And we know with the dates of Yom Kippur that this was in October. And what would usually take a 4 to 6 day trip ended up being 3 to 4 months. And this was not a small boat, so it was not a small shipwreck. I mean, this was probably a grain boat that could be as long as 140 feet and as wide as 36 feet. But I want to focus on Malta and Paul's time on the island. And I realize in reading those two chapters there, that Malta could be considered probably Paul's ministry high point. He was a blessing to the community. He was warmly accepted. He healed. He performed miracles. There was no persecution. And he was in his ministry sweet spot, impacting the island for Jesus. Question I have for you is, do you feel shipwrecked? And do you feel like life is falling apart? Do you feel like things are happening that you had no plans, no intention at all? But maybe God has something in store for you. As Paul showed, the presence of an obedient servant of God in the midst of an unbelieving people is a great blessing to the unbelievers. That's what Paul did on the island of Malta after the shipwreck. His presence on the island brought physical healing and great spiritual blessing to the lives of the inhabitants of that place. So much so that when winter passed and company was ready to go on their trip to Rome, the people from that locality showered them with honor and with gifts and supplies. Paul got to Rome, and he did as he had always done before. He arrives in Rome as a prisoner, but he convenes all the Jews who come to a meeting in which he explains the kingdom of God, tries to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah, and by reasoning with them from the Old Testament. As happened elsewhere, some believed, some did not. And having fulfilled his vow to teach the Jews first, then he turns to the Gentiles to proclaim the good news. And he ends up quoting out of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, which, interestingly, Jesus also quoted that same passage in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 16. So tradition tells us that Paul died in Rome. He was executed by the command at the command of Nero. But it wasn't at the end of Acts 28 in 62 AD. But rather, it happened several years later under Nero's rule. And so Paul's first Roman captivity, that's why I'm behind bars here, Paul's first Roman captivity ended up with a favorable verdict, and he was released. So you need to remember, Paul's prison epistles, Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, were written during his first captivity. And then Paul was sharing his life in those prison epistles about faith, humility, the deity of Jesus, forgiveness. And then Paul wrote 1 Timothy and Titus, what we call the pastoral epistles, between his imprisonments when Paul was released the first time. And tradition has it that Paul went to Spain and while he was gone for 3 years or so, and then returned to Rome about 3 or 4 years later. So like in 65, 66, 67 A.D. Clement, the bishop of Rome, about 96 A.D., wrote that Paul had been a herald to both the east and to the west and had reached the limit of the west, which we think is Spain. And he bore testimony before rulers and so departed from the world, the greatest example of endurance. So by the time Paul returned to Rome from Spain, Nero's persecution had begun and he had become the primary target of persecution. He was rearrested in 67 AD, and that's where he wrote 2 Timothy. So we know that Paul's last written words were in 2 Timothy, and especially at the very end of 2 Timothy 4, hinting of an impending trial in those words there. And he was beheaded in 68 AD, leaving this earth victorious to receive the crown for which he had so dedicately labored. So we started this book of this study, this accelerator, with describing the book of Acts. So how would you describe the life of Paul? Bold, leader, committed, risk-taker, sensitive, cared for others, humble. So now I would ask, how would you describe yourself? Also, what opportunities do you have around you to minister to others like Paul did on the ship, or on the island of Malta, or in the city of Rome? Even when life didn't go according to Paul's plan, Paul was willing to be bold, he was willing to speak up and speak out and take a stand. Not in an obstinate way, but in a confident and bold way. So the question we have to ask at the end of Acts 27 and 28 is, how about you? Are you willing to be bold? Are you willing to take a stand and speak, even when things don't go according to plan? That's it for today. God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow.